tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, as we began the study yesterday, we spoke about the mystery of Jesus' humanity and his divinity. Now, today we will look at another mystery, that is biography, having been written even before his birth. Is something that we can marvel at, right? And so do join us as we continue with our Voice of Prophecy lesson, looking at Christ, the heart of history and prophecy. He is what it's all about, right? He is what it's all about. And joining us in this discussion is going to be my brother, Mark German, who's here to share and talk to us more on this great mystery. Good morning, good afternoon to you, sir, and welcome to Maranatha Drive.
Afternoon, thank you.
How are you doing, my good sir?
I'm very fine. How about you?
No, we're doing okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Let's then jump into our study for today. When we talk about Christ and how he was born, and that biography was written way before he was born, what does that mean? Maybe summarize this study that we are looking at today for us.
All right. In other words, right from the beginning, before the birth of Jesus, before the scriptures were written, we understand and we believe that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And looking at the scriptures, we get the evidence from the Old Testament part of the Bible that Jesus, his birth, his life, his birth and the resurrection, as well as his second coming, were foretold even before all of us here were created. And the Bible do tell us 250 years before Christ's birth, because in other writings, like the Greek translation, where we see the evidence that 250 years before the birth of Christ, people had already known that Jesus was going to come. And if we carefully, reasonably, and honestly study the Old Testament, we'll come to the conclusion that Jesus is represented in all the books in the Old Testament. And in Genesis chapter number 3, where we see the four of our first parents, God comes down and to them he promises. He gives them a promise of salvation through Christ. And in John chapter 1, verses number 41, we see also Jesus being told that he is the Messiah who the Old Testament foretold that he will be born in the world. And so at the very beginning of Christ's earthly ministry, people compared the scriptures, they compared the prophecies of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they came to a conclusion to say, surely prophecy has been fulfilled, and surely this is the Messiah that the Old Testament foretold he would be born in the world. That's why in John chapter number 1, we see Nathanael telling the friend that we have found him, of whom Moses in the law. And the Moses in the law, meaning Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, as well as Leviticus and other books in the Old Testament. It says, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, and that is none other than Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And so even in his public ministry, Jesus himself, quote from the Old Testament passage, he stood in the church. In Luke chapter 4, we see he usually went to the temple to pray on Sabbath, as it was his custom. And one of these days, standing up in Luke 4:21, the Bible says, today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. Which scripture? The Old Testament, part of the Bible. And shortly after his resurrection, as well as he appeared to the disciples, and to those two men on the road to the Emmaus, Jesus told them, Jesus rebuked them to say, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that prophets have spoken. And the Bible says, we expounded to them beginning from Moses and all the prophets. In other words, he told them that this prophecy, this is scripture, has been fulfilled. So it is a remarkable biography to know and understand that Jesus is in the Old Testament and is in the New Testament. And it's just so unfortunate that most Christians argue to say the Jesus of the Old Testament. I mean, Jesus is not a part of the Old Testament. He's only the Savior in the New Testament. But when we studied the scriptures, just like we did yesterday, we found that Jesus was there before the creation of the world. He was the master of creation, and through him, God created the entire universe. He is the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. So Jesus is there in the Old Testament, and his birth was foretold, but it is fulfilled in the New Testament. Even when we studied the sanctuary itself in the Old Testament, where we saw the high priest, it was a representation of Jesus, the door through which the sinner would take the lamb and meet the high priest, represented Christ as well. In John chapter number 14, John number 10, it says, I am the door, meaning to say what you saw in the Old Testament referred to me. And the lamb itself stood for Christ. And so Jesus is in the Old Testament. It was a prophecy, but in the New Testament, we find now that it was the fulfillment. There are a number of evidences in the Old Testament which are there as fulfillment of Jesus' birth as the Messiah.
No, thank you so much for that. And I think that's just something that is quite potent, that we can find Christ being available in both of the Testaments and not just coming through as a remake or a makeover of who God is. Just talk to us a bit about that record you're pointing out, the fact that Christ has got so many scriptures pointing out in the Old Testament to his forecoming birth. Why was that necessary, if you would look at it? Why did the first advent of Christ need to be foretold in such a manner and so many times, as it's put across in the first Old Testament rather?
All right, it was necessary, and it remains necessary for even us in this generation. In other words, it was foretold so that those who waited for the Savior would be encouraged. For example, in John chapter number 8, verse 56, I believe it is, Jesus told the Jews, told the church leaders to say, Abraham saw my day. And he was glad. So having heard that the Jews tried to stone him, say, oh, you are not even above 50. How come you say Abraham saw your day? You are younger than him. Yeah. How come you say Abraham saw your day? The little did they know that this Jesus was speaking symbolically, and he was pointing to that day, to Genesis chapter number 20:21, where we see God telling Abraham to sacrifice his one and only son, Isaac. And as he was about to sacrifice him, he saw a lamb caught, and he took that lamb and sacrificed it. And this is the day Abraham understood that one of these days, sooner, the Lord will come in the world as the Messiah. He will be born, and in his first advent, he will work, he will begin his ministry of saving humanity from sin. And so it was so important for them to understand, so that when Jesus comes, they can receive him gladly and hear his teachings. However, the devil worked so swiftly that he blinded the church leaders, the Jews, so that when Jesus came in this world, his first advent was not gladly received. Many rebuked him, they wanted to kill him, and they did kill him because Satan blinded their eyes to see the fulfillment of the prophecy which was foretold. But all in all, it was important so that the people could prepare. It was important for them to understand that God really wants them to be saved.
It was for them to prepare. And I think that becomes very important, right? Especially when you look at it, because we're also standing in a similar situation today where we are having the second coming, not the first, but the second coming of Christ prophesied. How do we guard against falling into the trap or into that failure to recognize the advent of Jesus, just like our forefathers who did the same thing? They had the prophecies, they had the scriptures, but when he did come, they didn't recognize. They didn't realize that this is the very one we're looking for. How can we protect against such an attitude?
The scripture is only our self-guard. We can be safe from the deception.
Ooh, we are.
Each day, in the by doing everything according to God's word. Because when we look at the scriptures, what the church leaders, what the Jews missed is none other than living the life that God wanted them to live. And so they were busy delivering the duties that they were assigned to them on a church basis. But the true character that God wanted them to get from him through the scripture, they did not have. As a result, they missed his first advent. And the danger here lies in the church, but we are not sanctified and we are not guided by him. And this is the major problem. And so if we are not under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, if we are not guided by the scriptures themselves, we'll be lost. And so we can only be saved from the deception Satan is casting in the world today, and we can only be sure in our Christ and not to miss his second advent only if we trust in his word and live our day by day lives by the word and not just being church members, you say.
Yeah. No, that is so true. That is so true. Thank you so much for that. Maybe let's also address what prophecy tells us, especially that we often seem to miss in our day and age, right? We are like our grandfathers, like our forefathers. And if you would pick one specific prophecy to say, hey, here's one thing that prophecy really spoke about to say it's coming, and we live in oblivion, we don't really recognize that this is that thing that the Bible script speaks of, what would that be?
In the book of Daniel, we see Daniel having visions, and one of the visions is found in Daniel chapter number 7, where Daniel sees the winds, and thus in the prophets the wind means it's beasts coming out of the water, and the beasts represent the kingdoms of this world. And now, looking at the entire universe, we can tell, we can understand that there is an unrest in the world. There are deaths, strange deaths, there are wars, and there is the growth of disobedience, there is the breaking of God's law, both in and outside the church. All this can tell that something sooner is coming, and how apostasy has come, has clipped in the church. And when we look at the church as a whole in Revelation chapter number 3, the Laodicean church, you can tell that this is the prophecy that has been fulfilled and is being fulfilled. You know, there are people who love the things of God, but in the process of loving the things of God, they forget to love the owner of the things they so love, which is a big...
Yeah.
They sing, they love to do whatever. So, but their character is not sanctified by the blood of Jesus. And like the Pharisees, they feel this is all we need to come to the throne of God. But hey, this is the fulfillment of prophecy. We are in the state where the church is neither cold nor hot, lukewarm. And so this is the prophecy we can see besides the wars and the like.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. Any final thoughts as we conclude today's session?
Yeah, I would say there is a saying which says, if you're forewarned, you'll be forearmed. Meaning to say, prophecy exists for one reason, if not two. One, prophecy exists so that we can be safe from the deception of the enemy, which is the devil. If God had not told us about what is going to happen in the world today, we'll be shocked, number one. And the second reason being, prophecy is essentially important because it helps us to believe in God, to believe in his word even more. Today, when you look at the world, how things are, how tough things are, the problems, the pandemics, you can come to a conclusion where you're going to say, oh, This is the fulfillment of prophecy. What God wrote in his book is being fulfilled, and this should be an alarm to me. In Jesus himself, in Luke chapter number 21, I believe it is verse number 25, it says, verse number 28, it says, and when you see these things beginning to happen, and when we see these things coming to pass, then look up, because your salvation is nigh. In other words, what is happening in the world today should help us to change our ways. It should help us to understand that the day of the Lord is more nearer than it was years ago.
No, certainly. Well, thank you so much, my brother. We appreciate you taking us through this conversation, and until we chat again next time, keep well and God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.